Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, imagine being so low in empathy, so low in kindness, so low in the ability to experience the feelings of, or even think about the feelings of somebody else, that you can watch a person being shot in the neck in front of their wife and children, two young children, aged 1 and 3, shot in the neck and killed, and you can celebrate that. You can take pleasure in it. What kind of a person can feel and think like that? And the answer, as we have seen, is many left-wing people. And I want to look at why that is the case in a moment. But imagine even more extreme than this. Imagine that you have met the person. You have shook the person's hand. You have broken bread with the person. Okay, you disagree with his political views, but he's probably been very kind to you and pleasant to you and reasonable to you. And you've shaken his hand and you've looked in his eye. And you still react in this way. You are that sadistic. You are that just callous. You are that lacking in basic human feeling and in a basic sense of someone being your fellow man, that you have met them, you have spent time with them, you have had dinner with them, which you will have done, and that is your reaction. Well, this is what we find in the UK, ladies and gentlemen. We find a young man who is at Oxford University by the name of George Abaronye, and he debated at the Oxford Union Society toxic masculinity with Charlie Kirk. And yet he tweeted, "Charlie Kirk got shot, lul," meaning laughing out loud. And he also tweeted, "Charlie Kirk got shot, let's fucking go," celebrating what is happening. Now, I mean, we can put aside the fact that, it's perfectly obvious why he is at a particularly prestigious university. You have to get normally at least 2 A's and a B to go there. He got ABB, which would normally see you, even if you'd got through the interview process, being rejected from that university. But we can see why that's happened. We can see why he's there. We can see what corruption and what political considerations are in place for him being there when a more qualified candidate is not there. But let's look at the character of someone that would do something like that. I have been saying for years, I have been saying since I started my YouTube channel in 2019, I have been talking about the concept of the spiteful mutant. And I have been mocked by leftists as being a conspiracy theorist. I have been mocked by leftists that this idea is somehow unscientific, even though it was created by William Hamilton and a long time ago and is perfectly scientific. It has been mocked and mocked and mocked and ignored as well. Ignored. And it's time, surely we can see, with the reaction of these people to the murder of Charlie Kirk and to the devastation that has wrought on his family, we can see that the spiteful mutant is very, very real indeed and walks among us. We can see that there is a split that has occurred gradually in the nature of Western humans, of Western people. A very, very predictable split. We're under half Darwinian condition, 50% child mortality. We're under those conditions. It collapses to 1% child mortality because of the Industrial Revolution and its innovations. What do you think is going to happen? There's going to be a massive build-up of mutation. What were we selecting for under harsh Darwinian conditions? We know what we were selecting for. We were group selected. We were selected to fight other groups and win. We were selected to positive and negative ethnocentrism, that you bond with your fellow person, your own, in your in-group, and you repel the outsider. That is what we were selecting for. How can you bond with the person in your in-group? You select very strongly for certain pro-social traits, for empathy, for agreeableness, for conscientiousness, and for low mental instability. And this allows people to bond together and so forth, and this means that they can be a cooperative group. And we know we were selecting for those traits because those traits are related genetically to other traits which we were manifestly, of course, selecting for, i.e. genetic mental health and, of course, most importantly of all, genetic physical health. These things are all correlated into a fitness factor, and we were selecting for that fitness factor. With the collapse of harsh Darwinian conditions, with child mortality falling down to 1%, there is going to be a massive build-up of mutation in the direction of the opposite of that fitness factor. If we're selecting to being group-oriented, to being concerned about the group over the individual, i.e. conservative, and indeed religious, which upholds those things, which is itself, you know, about up to 70% genetic, conservatism 60% genetic, then we will deviate massively from what we were selecting for in the direction of the opposite of what we're selecting for. So we will therefore have people who are individually oriented and concerned about the good of themselves over the group. We will have people who are mentally unstable, who are high in negative feelings, who are angry, who are resentful, who are paranoid, who are depressed, who are anxious or whatever, who are atheistic. We will have people who are low in agreeableness. We will have people who are low in conscientious, that's say impulse control and rule following, high in neuroticism. And this will all pleiotropically relate, and this will be associated with not having children, with not wanting children, with poor mental health and with poor physical health, with poor general fitness. And this is definitely the case. This is the case. This is quite clear. I've looked at it in my book, Woke Eugenics, How Social Justice and Masked Social Darwinism. This is the case. So these people are, in a sense, a different kind of human. They are a human that has evolved to an easy rather than a harsh ecology. And how are these people going to work? Well, if they're mentally unstable and they're individually oriented, they're going to be power hungry, but they daren't have a fair fight. They daren't have a fair fight. So they will play for status covertly, but they're under the radar by signalling about things like harm avoidance and signalling about things like equality. And those people... and thus attaining status that way. And there will also be people being anti-group oriented who will identify with an out-group, another group, over their own, which will allow them to collaborate with that out-group to attain power covertly and subtly over the in-group all the time, signalling how high they are in their concern for other people's feelings and their concern for equality, where really all they are concerned about is themselves. That is all they are concerned about, and their own gratification and their own empowerment. And of course, often these people will be narcissistic. Often these people will be so deeply insecure and unhappy, they will create a narcissistic false self where they will tell themselves they are morally superior, and then they will virtue signal in order to gain control and to gain power. That is the kind of person we are dealing with. And of course, someone like that is going to be incredibly delighted that someone like Charlie Kirk is killed? Of course they are. Why? Because Charlie Kirk is questioning the ideology via which they tell themselves they are morally superior. He is questioning the thing which makes them believe and allows them to believe that they are better than other people. And if that is taken away, they are unmasked. That's what a narcissist fears, being unmasked. They are unmasked, they are confronted with the darkness and fear at the heart of themselves, and this could send them mad. So they can't tolerate that. So therefore, he has to be taken out. And of course, they are delighted. They are delighted in his passing away. And also, such people create coalitions based around believing in the same morality, not around being part of the same family, but believing in the same morality. And so anyone that questions that morality is inherently evil and wicked. But you can see that these are, on average, these are two very different kinds of people. These are normal people who are the remnant normal population from normal Darwinian conditions, which are normal throughout the history of man, and therefore, at least in the West, and who are therefore high in agreeableness, high in empathy, high in feeling other people's pain, high in conscientiousness and being able to control their impulses rather than screaming and having tantrums like teenagers or little children, and highly mentally stable. And what we have is the emergence in a way that has probably never been so extreme in history. It may have been a bit like this during the Roman warm period where child mortality went down. It may have been a bit like this in other warm periods. But we have created an artificial warm period, a zoo, in which these extremely unhealthy people can manifest and then can grow and then can reach a tipping point in the population and take over the culture, take over the society, and then inculcate even relatively healthy people, such as Irina Zarutska, with their ideas. Thus leaving eventually, as they all enter the, as they all virtue signal until they don't have children for reasons of climate strike or guilt or whatever, leading eventually a genetically normal population to carry on. Once they've of course collapsed civilization and created total chaos, and that is what they are doing. But this idea that some people are saying, let's tone down the rhetoric. Let's tone down the rhetoric. It's going a bit far now, isn't it? It's going a bit far, people being so upset about Charlie Kirk and being so upset about the reaction of these people to Charlie Kirk's death, and people being upset about how just horrible and spiteful and wicked they are. Oh, let's tone down the rhetoric. Let's cooler heads prevail, as I think James Lindsay said. I say no. I see no reason why we should tone down the rhetoric. I see no reason why we should stop saying what these people are. These are people who would never have been born under normal Darwinian conditions. And their parents would never have been born. And perhaps their grandparents would never have been born. These are spiteful mutants. These are a different kind of human from us. They are human, but they are a very different kind of human psychologically, genetically. Very different. And we should not accept this anymore, and we cannot accept this anymore, that they can take delight in the assassination of a young man. I'm 44 years old. If I died tomorrow, I would be able to think, well, I've done a few things. I've done this and that. I wouldn't want to carry on for a bit. I've got stuff to do. But 31, when you look back on it, and you're just 14 or 13 years old, and that is nothing. It's just nothing. It's a young man, very young man, and his life was snuffed out, and these people are taking pleasure in that. We know what we're dealing with. We know what we have to know what we're dealing with. We have to articulate what we're dealing with. We're dealing with people who are expressing high mutational load, who are deviated from what we were selecting for under harsh conditions, which is to be empathetic, which is to be agreeable, which is to be conscientious and to control our emotions, which is to be mentally stable and therefore not to have severe negative emotions. That is what we are dealing with. People that are very different from us. And that is why they are behaving as they are. They are genetically, in most cases, to varying degrees. In some cases, they will be genetically a bit different, and they've been dragged into the death cult of wokeness, and there will be those that are genetically so normal in pre-industrial terms that they'll be resistant to it, like Charlie Kirk and his wife. But that at the extremes, the most shrill people, the ones that are really going for it in their callousness, they are a genetically different caste from us. And we must realise that. Well, I'd like to thank you for listening. And if you enjoy The Jolly Heretic, then please do subscribe. It really helps if you do that. Subscribe on YouTube and subscribe on my Substack. That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most based science I can't put on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, films I make. And if you like what I do, you can support me for the cost of about a pint of beer a month. Please do, if you're in the comments, I'd like to know more. If you're on the ground in America, let me know. Is this the turning point? I think it might be. Let me know what's happening. And I will see you all soon. And goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?